Wisconsin's Afternoon News is on the air. Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Here are your hosts, Julia Fellow, and in for John McCure, it's Telly Hughes.
Telly!
Julia.
An hour left. Are you having fun?
Almost home. No, this has been a good show. We've had good guests, and what a great day to commend such a great holiday in Veterans Day.
I think so too.
Again, thank you to all who have served our great country.
So well said. And we're going to switch gears and talk about another story that's in the news, and Adam Roberts has been on top of it. He's been talking to a leader in our community that actually spoke during the Wisconsin, was the Wisconsin or Milwaukee Press Club?
The Milwaukee Press Club, yeah. They do these newsmaker luncheons usually about once a month, and typically it just gives you an hour to talk to someone who's been in the news for any reason and just ask away. Ask whatever is on your mind. The questions aren't vetted or anything like that. It's just an hour of open conversation, which is much appreciated.
And he's Adam Procell. And he's with the Office of...
The Director of the Office of Community Wellness and Safety. I know that's a long business card to hand out.
The reason why I get confused, I've been in covering this part of our state for 12 years now. It's because it was once called the Office of Violence and Prevention, and then they changed the name because there's been so much controversy with the previous leaders. And now, this leader, he is a convicted murderer.
Putting it pretty bluntly, but you're not inaccurate. So Adam Procell is his name and has been made much of the fact that he was convicted of first-degree intentional homicide for the 1995 death of Robert Bruce. So this was 30 years ago in an act of gang violence. Now, to Procell's credit, he has spoken openly about this. He's not tried to shy away from the fact that this is on his record, and he served 23 years in prison at the Green Bay Supermax specifically, and has talked ad nauseum about his time in there and what he has learned from that period. One thing also that Adam has made mention, especially since he was led to this position in August, was, I want to ask uncomfortable questions, and I want to welcome uncomfortable questions. So, given that I was on this panel of media members, I said, all right, Adam, how about this one?
Take me inside the mind of someone who is drawn to end someone's life. And utilizing that information and the lived experience you have, how can then we use that knowledge to attack violence at the root?
Well, you weren't lying about a tough, uncomfortable question. And thank you. And I think that's as uncomfortable as it is for me, because every single time I'm asked that or I look in that, I'm immediately transported back to those moments when I set a course of action, right? On September 26, 1995, I didn't have the mindset to take somebody's life. I had the mindset of, I want to impress this older gang member that was asking me to do things that I knew were wrong. I'm not trying to say that I didn't know, but I so desperately wanted to impress these older individuals that I sort of stuffed down my knowledge of what's right and what's wrong. If you have somebody with their gun in their hand and they're pulling a trigger, or even a couple moments before then, you've already lost the battle. I think you would have had to have gone back at least a year and started addressing my mindset then. As soon as I started to connect with those groups, that's when you have to intervene.
So I've parsed that answer down a bit for time, because his full answer went about 3.5-4 minutes. But the crux of it is, you know, he, again, is not shying away from what he has done and has owned up to that. And on the flip side, he said, well, I'm in this position now, and so I'm going to use my lived experience for good. And one of his particular points he wants to focus on now as the director of this office is targeting young people and going, as he mentioned, like getting to them well before these ideas of violent acts are planted into their minds.
I mean, he wanted to impress, so I was thinking it was a gang initiation. But I mean, I appreciate that he answered that. How old was he when he was
15?
15. Yeah.
In the last hour, you said that he was in a supermax prison.
I just said a few moments ago. So he was in a supermax. Yep. as high as confinement as you can possibly have in the state.
And but my thinking on this, Adam, is the fact that, yes, Procell, he wants to do well. He's trying to show that he wants to turn his life around. But I don't think that position requires someone who has actually done the crime. And and then on top of that, you said his goal is to get to people at a young age to steer them from the path that he took.
Mm-hmm.
But he just admitted that when he woke up September 26, 1995, he wasn't thinking of himself as, I'm about to end someone else's life. So, I mean, how do you identify something that that person may not even know that, you know, is there?
And that's going to be the question that he has to answer, admittedly, with an office or of that is kind of on a low budget anyway, doesn't have a lot of money compared to the rest of the city, the $2 billion we're planning for next year. So, yeah, he's got a lot of thinking to do. And again, it is early. He's only been in this post for about 3 months at this point. So we will have to see. This office has had five directors over its roughly 17-year period. And so it remains to be seen.
Wow. WTMJ's Adam Roberts, thank you.
You bet.
5:15 on WTMJ. He is CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent, creating fascinating podcasts like Agent of Betrayal, The Double Life of Robert Hansen. So crazy, you won't believe that one. The author of Mr. Trump's Wild Ride takes you behind the scenes during huge events during Donald Trump's first term, and also has the book The Big Truth. He just got done anchoring The Takeout, which you can watch on CBS online platforms. Major Garrett, welcome.
Welcome. Yes, you can watch it on YouTube and Paramount Plus, lots of different places. But yes, thanks for mentioning that. Just got off the set for The Takeout. Happy Tuesday, everyone.
Oh, yes. Well, okay. So it looks like the Speaker, Johnson, of the House has said that, you know, you have 38 hours notice to get to Washington, D.C., to all the congressmen and women. So that'll be about 3 o'clock our time. How many times do you think they will take a vote? Because Speaker Johnson says he's really kind of relying. It's like very a narrow margin with how much they have control of the GOP.
Sure. So there's a 2-seat margin for the Republicans after the newest member of the House, a Democrat from Arizona, Adelita Grijalva, is sworn in, which will happen tomorrow. She has been a congresswoman-elect for many, many weeks, but with the House not in session, not doing any work at all, Speaker decided not to swear her in. So the margins are narrow. President and the White House support this Senate compromise. The Rules Committee will debate it and provide the procedures and the timing for the vote tomorrow. There are probably 5 or 6 House Democrats who might cross over and vote for this, maybe 2 or 3 House Republicans that wander away. It appears right now as we're speaking that enough votes will be there narrowly to pass it, but that's all you need is narrow passage. And it could get to the president's desk tomorrow night, conceivably. So this could all be over tomorrow night or midday Thursday at the latest.
Major, is this deal any different than the one that was proposed, let's say, 20 days ago?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So it has been sweetened to a point, but the sticking point still remains about if they are going to talk about the Affordable Health Care after the fact or take a vote on it. Is that the correct understanding?
Okay. So as the country has listened to this debate for more than 40 days, the principal sticking point for Democrats was resolving the pending expiration, which will happen on December 31st of this year, of enhanced Obamacare tax credits. Those were first put in place during COVID in the Affordable Care Act, American Relief Plan. Then they were extended in the Inflation Reduction Act. So twice they were set in motion during COVID. They were set to expire by Democrats. But now, if they expire, premiums will go up and lots of people will be socked with costs that they are currently not absorbing to buy insurance on the Obamacare exchanges. This does not affect your premiums if you are receiving employer-based health insurance, as I do, and perhaps you do as well. But if you're on the exchanges, you will see a premium increase for sure. So that issue has not been dealt with at all. So everything the Democrats have been talking about for more than 40 days, not addressed. You get nothing on that.
Right.
There are some changes that were put in the bill, 3 appropriations bills dealing with veterans, legislative affairs, and agriculture are in the bill. So SNAP benefits suspended during the shutdown will continue for the full calendar year until next year. That's not nothing. Also, every federal employee that was fired by the Trump administration during the shutdown will be rehired and receive back pay, as well as all other federal workers will receive their back pay. So there are some things in there that take care of some legislative business. That's why it has to go back to the House. Mm-hmm. This is not the same bill the House passed 7 weeks ago. That's why the House needs to vote on it. But on the big issue, Obamacare enhanced tax credits, Democrats got nothing. Zero. Mm-hmm. Only the promise of a vote in the Senate, no promise of a vote in the House. And that's why on the progressive left, there's so much anger, kind of boiling rage that this is a capitulation, it's a cave-in, it's a betrayal, et cetera, et cetera.
So I had an ex-boss in the TV industry. I was in the TV industry for 19 years, and he made a promise, and I wanted that in my contract, and he wouldn't do it. He said he was going to keep his promise. It was also published in the newspaper. I was about to say the date and the paragraph and the exact quote of what the promise was. So
into your memory. I can tell.
It was written. It was written in the newspaper.
These encounters often are in our industry. Right. Into your memory.
I know. So here's the thing. The Senate deal, it guarantees a future Senate vote on the Affordable Care Act subsidies, meaning it's only a promised vote. And the outcome's
that they're
uncertain.
Just going to talk about it. That doesn't. Going to.
What the heck is
no
that?
Promises about the outcome or anything.
No,
and
no.
I just like I know that the Democrats were trying to hold steadfast on saying, "Hey, we're not going to do anything until you at least do something on that." But it just seems like President Trump and the GOP just played the waiting game. They're just saying, "All right," and is that basically what happened?
And here's what happened to resolve this, or to get it to the place where it became resolved. So one of the problems in Washington right now is nobody or very few people trust one another, meaning they don't trust their word. And that makes legislative compromises even more difficult than the underlying politics of your two sides, both supported by hardcore partisans on the right and hardcore partisans on the left. They don't want compromise. So when you're trying to reach a compromise, you know you're going to catch flack. You know you're going to get assailed, criticized. So if you're going to make that step, you have to understand that the person you're going to make it with is trustworthy from your point of view. And trust is really broken down. There are a small handful of Senate Republicans who Democrats trust with their word. One of them is Tom Tillis from North Carolina. The other is Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. And they both went to these rank-and-file Senate Democrats like Tim Kaine of Virginia, Jeanne Shaheen of New Hampshire, who were instrumental in cutting the deal, and said, look, we're telling you, the White House is not going to budge on this health care issue. It doesn't matter how long it goes. It doesn't matter how much damage is inflicted, how many flights are canceled, how Thanksgiving is disrupted. Yeah, they will not budge. Not now, not next week, not a month from now, not ever. So we're telling you that. Not because we necessarily agree with it, but we're telling you, as someone you can trust, this will never move. Mm. So what you are buying, if you continue this shutdown, is SNAP benefits suspended, chaos at the airports, other travel problems, detrimental effects on the U.S. economy, et cetera, et cetera. And those seven Senate Democrats and one independent, Angus King of Maine, said, okay, if that's the real deal, then we're going to roll this over because it's not going to be solvable on our terms or anything close to our terms. And we'll take the hard vote. We'll take all the criticism. Remember, none of the Senate Democrats and the independent who voted for this are up for re-election in 2026. Not one of them. And two of them are retiring. Oh. They can weather this storm. That's why they took the hard vote.
He is always giving us the best perspective for our state. Seriously, he's the best in the business. CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, the author of Mr. Trump's Wild Ride, also has the book The Big Truth and anchors The Takeout. You can watch it on online platforms, including YouTube. Major Garrett, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure. Talk next week.
5:26 on WTMJ. 5:39 on WTMJ. Hope that you're having a great day. Thank you to all the veterans who have served You can text VETERAN to 855-616-1620. VETERAN to our Saturday Limited Talk and Text line. If you would like to see John and I's experience, the Stars and Stripes Honor Flight, there's a carousel of all these different photos of our wonderful veterans from across our state. And also there's all of the podcasts of everything that we gathered and collected and brought back to you, our fans. Let's take a look at the weather now with Lauren Larson, TMJ4 News, Storm Team 4 meteorologist. Lauren, it looks like coming up in the next few days, it's going to be a little bit sunny. And are there a chance of any flurries?
I know that is the big question after we've seen some lake effect snow and a few rounds of some light flurries. The good news is things look to be pretty dry and mild as we go throughout the next couple of days. Really not expecting any snow showers throughout the next week, but we might see a little bit of rain for us on Saturday.
Lauren, I see we have a chance to possibly get up to 60 degrees on Saturday. Now, is that just, you know, kind of a fluff number that, oh, it'll hit 60 degrees for about 42 seconds and then go back down? Or is that a real number?
No, that's a real number. We are seeing a warm front kind of push into Wisconsin. That is bringing us the chance for some rain showers, but it is likely to bring our temperatures into the low 60s. And we didn't throw that on the 7-day forecast lightly. I mean, I talked to Niz yesterday, like, hey, multiple things over the weekend are, or what I saw this past weekend was multiple computer models showing it might be 60 next weekend. And yesterday, Niz and I were like, eh, we're not going to go for it. And then came in today and he went for it. So excited for that this weekend. Unfortunately, yeah, it is coming with a bit of rain. I don't think Saturday will be a complete washout, though.
All right, Lauren, just give us the quick 5-day.
Quick 5-day forecast tonight. We are in the mid-30s, mid to upper 30s. So typical for this time of year, warmer than it has been the last couple of nights. And every single day will be warmer than the day before. Today, we only hit 40. Tomorrow, we're looking at 50 degrees and mostly sunny skies. It is still going to be pretty windy, seeing those westerly winds as high as 25 miles an hour. Thursday and Friday will be in the mid-50s. Still looking at mostly sunny skies and eventually those winds calming down as we look into Friday. Saturday, again, 60 degrees, chance for some rain showers. Sunday, mid-50s, so once again dropping down a little bit. We're not staying in the 60s for long, but mostly cloudy skies on Sunday and then normal temperatures for next week back in those low 40s.
She is TMJ4's meteorologist, Lauren Larson. I almost gave you the word chief. Don't tell Brian. He'd kill me. Are you going to be on at 6?
No. I'll be here at 6 and 10.
Okay, we'll be watching. Thank you so much.
Yeah, have a good night.
543 on WTMJ. Wisconsin's afternoon news is in-depth this entire hour, this Veterans Day. And I want to highlight something so incredible that's going to be happening tomorrow, a Veterans Empathy Training event. Volunteer veterans will share their experiences with Concordia students that are in speech-language pathology. It was all created by McKaylee Schmitz. She's a speech-language pathology professor at Concordia University, and she also brought a student with her, Madison Post, a graduate in speech-language pathology with Concordia University. Thank you so much for joining us, ladies. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
So can you tell me what the Veterans Empathy Training, what you've learned so far, or how this is so different from so many other things that you have learned?
Oh, okay. We had a group of veterans, some in the professional role as well, come a couple weeks ago and speak to our class. They came to Concordia campus and they spent a few hours with us, just talking about like their experience with the VA and the medical field and everything that they experienced on that end. And basically, like, they talked to us a lot about like what we can do as clinicians moving forward in the healthcare field and like what we can do to look at them as people and have conversations.
So how old were you when 9/11 happened?
One, not even.
Okay. So this is something that you are you learning the scope of it? Because who did you speak to that had multiple brain trauma injuries that you grew close with?
Right. So we spoke to a veteran from the Iraq area, mm-hmm. right? And he had he was out there active duty, and he was part of the first line of defense. So he would go out, and the way that he described it was he would go out and he'd get blown up day one, and then he'd come home for a couple hours and barely get any sleep, and go out day two, get blown up, come home, sleep for a couple hours. They'd check in with him and ask him if he was ready to go, and they'd go back out and do it again over and over and over.
So we're training our next generation, like Madison, who's joining us for our special. And we have, this is incredible, the professor, McKaylee Schmitz. I really appreciate it. Can you tell me, you know, the impact you think this is going to be making on our next generation?
I think that speech-language pathology as a field really balances the art and the science. So we center ourselves in neuroanatomy and neuroplasticity, and we understand anatomy and physiology and brain-based science. But the art and purpose of human connection and communication is more than that. And having the opportunity to interact with veterans and with individuals who've been impacted and who maybe require our services but haven't been able to access them, either because they didn't know they could and didn't know that we were available to them, or that that work fell within our scope of practice, I think that we can do a really great job. We've proved that in higher ed, teaching people to take tests and pass quizzes and pass exams. But the opportunity to actually interact with humans who are willing and able to share their story and who have gone through the empathy training to train my clinicians in greater empathy, so they know how to guide them and give them that feedback, so that we end up really centered in person-centered care. And I think that is really special. We can do all of the academic learning in the classroom, but this is very different.
Dr. Schmidt, what does that training consist of? Because when you talk about veterans and people like them opening up about their experiences, that can be very, very touchy, emotional. Mm-hmm. A lot of them go years without even recalling some of the things that they experienced. So when you are training these students to interact with these veterans, what are some of the things that go into that?
I mean, I think at the core, something we try to remember in our field of speech-language pathology is that in general, if people are spending time with us, it's probably not their best day. Things are generally not going the direction they had hoped if they need our services. And so we start with a foundation of person-centered care from the beginning. The difference in veterans is, I think very often we think of veterans as, my grandfather served in World War II, he was a Navy captain. You know, it's grandpa, and it's a little bit distance, and it's maybe not the person walking down the street who is your same age, or the individual who's struggling to maintain employment or maintain their relationships. And so from this context, we're really trying to center our knowledge and our learning and our experience and our connections with them on their humanity, and acknowledging that you're not just a veteran, you're also a partner and a child and a spouse and an employee and a person who saw some things that most of us are probably never going to experience. The veterans who are sharing their time with us have been doing really big, really brave work with the VA, with the Vet Center, with the Brave program out at Frederick, so that they have the support, and they've started to do the processing, and they're reclaiming their own identity. And when AJ came and spoke to our class, it was the first time he had ever spoken publicly, ever.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a lot.
It was really powerful. And I got an email from his mental health clinician the next day that said that was the first time since he came back that he felt like a person that was heard. And that's what we're trying to do.
Yes. And Madison, I'll ask you the same question. I mean, in terms of knowing these are some of the things that breakthroughs that you might get these veterans to open up about. I mean, that's a serious thing.
It's very, like, when you think about, like, doctors coming in, they come in to get certain information, and they only want to talk to you for a couple minutes to get the bare minimum, and then they're out. Where with our field, we spend hours with these people. Mm-hmm. And, like, even, like, with the people who came just to sit with our class, like, we spent over 3 hours with mm-hmm. them, which is why it was like an experience for us to like provide the environment and stability and like the comfort for people to open up. I think our role is a big piece of that because of the amount of time that we get to spend with them.
Nice.
Wow. Professor Smith, I so appreciate it. Well, so are you going to the VA Medical Center? Tell me about.
We are.
So we visited the class, and now what do you think it's going to be like when you actually go to the VA with the students?
I mean, I imagine I'll cry there too. It's what I do, as Madison can attest to. So the empathy training tomorrow is something that Dr. McBride of the VA has been building with medical students for some time. And so we are the first group of speech language pathologists that he is including in this opportunity. And there are a number of veterans who have experienced the empathy training, who know how to guide medical professionals through it. And so what we are doing is to honor their time and to honor that connection is we are providing a meal for them. So we're going to break bread. We are going to have a potluck and share a meal first. And then within the context of that meal, because again, it's at the root of it is human connection and conversation and those core pieces of like dignity and identity and being heard. And they have volunteered to give of their time and their story and their energy and all that's going to cost them to help my students grow in the ability to ask the right kinds of questions, to hold the right kind of space, to follow up with the right amount of information, and they're able and willing to give them feedback. So I suspect it's going to be pretty powerful. Dr. McBride is really, really proud of this program and for good reason.
What an incredible way to be able to have a meal and just let it be kind of like a family and, just let it breathe. Madison, what do you now think about when you're going to be going into your career this Veterans Day about our veterans of war after taking this class and seeing this perspective?
Well, specifically, like Dr. McBride gave us very specific things to do, right? Like he gave us very specific strategies that I think he's going to enforce again tomorrow when we go back. A part of that is like kind of like sectioning off the identity that they have with it, right? Like some people who serve identify as veterans and some do not, right? Mm-hmm. So like that's when you need to like watch how you word things. Like do you ask like where and when did you serve? Did you serve? Rather than asking are you a veteran? Because a lot of people do not identify as that, right? So we have to like kind of like break it down into more like familiar terms that they feel more comfortable with rather than just like approaching them with this big identifier question.
And we just have 1 minute left. I wish we had like 10 minutes more. But Professor Schmitz, what is your message to some veterans who may be listening? How has this experience in shaping this new class, how has it changed you that, you know, being Veterans Day?
I think that our mission as speech language pathologists calls us to serve with both head and heart. And the more veterans I meet and have the opportunity to interact with, the more I see that that's exactly what they have done and continue to do.
It's fantastic. Two incredible women. That was part of our special hour that we had. A heartfelt salute to military veterans. Wisconsin's Afternoon News in-depth for Veterans Day. If you text VETERAN to 855-616-1620, VETERAN to our Setting in the Mood Talking Text line, it'll feature powerful stories from the Stars and Stripes Honor Flight. So we have many other things, but that was one really big, powerful moment that John and I did at the beginning of this month. And it's absolutely incredible. The veteran stories, I've never heard anything like it. We have it all there for you. There's also a photo wheel carousel. Just text VETERAN, 855-616-1620.